In our last study, we were considering Matthew chapter 6 and seeing something about prayer. How Jesus taught us, first of all, in Matthew 6, verse 6 and 7, 5 and 5 to 7, how not to pray. We were to pray in secret, not trying to impress people. And then he taught us, when we are praying, to begin with getting a foundation that will produce faith in our heart. And so we had to pray to our Father who is in heaven, a Father who loves us perfectly and whose wisdom is perfect and who is in heaven proving that He is Almighty. So once we understand that God loves us perfectly, His wisdom is perfect, His power is Almighty, He can solve every problem, there's nothing He cannot handle, He's got everything under His control, we can pray in faith. Once we come there, we can look at this prayer itself. There are six requests in this prayer. And it's very interesting to see, as I said last time, the words I, me, and mine are just not found in this prayer at all. The requests are, first of all, concerning God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. And then, our requests, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, here are three requests concerning God, His kingdom, His name, His will. Then three requests not concerning me, but concerning me and my fellow believers who are also God's children. That's why you find it's not give me, but give us, etc. So first of all, let's look at the three requests he prays in relation to God's glory and His name, etc. The first request, and since prayer is to come from our heart and not just from our lips, if prayer comes from our lips, we are merely actors, rehearsing a part, repeating it. True prayer must come from our heart, from our innermost being. What shall we pray to God? We are to say, Lord, the deepest burden in my heart, my number one request is that your name should be respected, treated as holy, glorified on earth, and especially in the land in which I live, the country in which I live, the town in which I live. I want your name to be glorified. My dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, if you will only change the way you pray from now on, from today, to put the glory of God's name first in everything that you pray, that is the deepest burden of your heart, you will find your whole life has changed because your prayer will be now God-centered. All prayers of most people in the world, of all religions, is man-centered. We have a man-centered gospel today, which is not the true gospel. The true gospel is God-centered. God wants something from us. And when we seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, other things are added to us. But a gospel that teaches you to seek for these other things first is a false gospel. And if you seek those other things first, naturally when you pray, you'll be praying for a car and a house and so many other things. Health is a good thing. But even that should not be first. That people are dragging your name in the dust, never mind. The name of Jesus is being dishonored in your city, in your country. Be concerned about that. And let the burden of your heart be, O God, my Father, never mind my backache and never mind my poverty and never mind that these little struggles I'm going through. Let your name be glorified at any cost. Such a man will find his backache gets healed and many other problems get solved because God is trying to make us stand on our feet. The whole world is full of people who are upside down. And God's trying to make us stand on our feet. He didn't create Adam to walk on his head. Spiritually speaking, the whole world is upside down. They put God down there and their own needs on top. That's what I mean by upside down. Their feet are on top. The Bible says the head of every man is Christ. Christ should be, head should be on top. Isn't that how you walk? Christ and His kingdom should be uppermost in our life. But is it? No. It's the other way around. The least important things are uppermost. Man's walking with his feet in the air and his head on the ground. And all that God is saying is, listen, that's not the way I created you to walk. Straighten up, man. And when we straighten up, we'll find we can make much more progress. I'll tell you, any day, you can walk a lot faster on your feet than on your head. However much of a juggler you may be, you can walk much faster on your feet. When you put Christ first, uppermost in your life, you'll find that your spiritual progress becomes amazing. It's true. I've experienced it. Be concerned about God's name first of all. Let your name be glorified. Think of the way the name of Jesus is being dishonored today by all the false things people say about Him, all the movies that are produced to dishonor His name, to say He was a homosexual or to say that He was married, and all types of lies. His name is dishonored. Are you concerned about it? Or are you only concerned when your own name is dishonored? That's the reason why we are so slow in our spiritual growth. Be concerned from today onwards that the name of Jesus must be honored. Hallowed be Thy name in my land. Lord, let the heathen know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let them tremble at that name. Let them throw away all other gods and trust in You, Lord Jesus. Let Your name be glorified and honored. That is our prayer, that people will know the truth and know God. We don't force anyone. You know, a lot of people talk about forcing people to be converted. There's no such thing. If you force somebody to be converted, that's not a conversion. Not at all. God Almighty, who's much more powerful than all of us, doesn't force anybody. He allows everybody to go according to whatever religion He wants. What we do is we offer. And those who voluntarily, joyfully, cheerfully want to accept Christ without any incentive, without giving them money or gifts or any such thing, because they want to receive Christ into their life because they feel Christ died for their sins. Those are the only ones, whom God wants to receive Christ into their life. Anything forced, anything where we urge a man to receive Christ because of some type of bribery, that is dishonoring to God completely. I don't know if there are people doing it, I hope not, but if they are, they are not representatives of Jesus Christ. No. We urge people to pray, Jesus Christ, let Your name be glorified. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. The second prayer is, Thy kingdom come. You know, all the corruption on this earth and evil is because this kingdom is not being ruled, this earth is not being ruled by God. It's being ruled by the devil. And that's why there's bribery, there's corruption, there's evil, there's immorality, there's all types of evil, and men are suffering like anything. Little children are suffering. What should we pray? Lord, when will You come back, Lord Jesus, and establish Your kingdom on this earth? That's the second thing we need to be concerned about. And the church, I don't mean the physical building called the church or a denomination called the church. I'm saying the group of people who call themselves Christians. We Christians are supposed to manifest to people what the kingdom of God is like. The church, the fellowship of people, of God's people, is supposed to show others this is what God's kingdom is like. It should be a taste that we give to the world about what God's kingdom is like. But there again, we find most Christians are a great failure when it comes to demonstrating the principles and values of God's kingdom. And so we need to repent of that and say, Lord, we really want Your kingdom to come here on this earth. We really long, first of all, in these little pockets where You've established Christians coming together, let them manifest the principles of Your kingdom properly. And Lord, come from heaven and set up Your kingdom on this earth soon and relieve the pain and suffering of suffering humanity. However much we do, we'll try and do our best for suffering humanity and help people in every way, the orphans, the widows, the poor, the suffering, the sick, and everybody else. But whatever we may do, it'll be a drop in the bucket because the need is so vast. The ultimate solution for this world is the return of Jesus Christ from heaven, when He establishes His kingdom on earth, His kingdom of peace. And we want to We should have a burden that that should come soon. So that's the second prayer. And the third is, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, first of all, in our own lives, it's no use asking for God's will to be done on earth if you don't want it to be done in your own life. If you're not serious about reading the Bible to find out what God's will is, how can you have God's will done on earth if it's not being done in your own life, first of all? So let's pray that God's will be done in our life. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life as it is done in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? The angels don't go running around doing something or the other for God. Sometimes Christians are told, come on, go and do something for God. God doesn't want you to do that. What do the angels do? What does the angel Gabriel do? He waits before God, as it were, in prayer. He waits before God and say, Almighty God, what do you want me to do? Like in some of these big offices, you have a person who's sitting there, who's a servant, sits like a watchman outside the door of the managing director. We call him a peon. And when the manager inside rings the bell, he opens the door and says, what shall I do, sir? And he says, go and give this file somewhere or something. And he does that and comes back and sits on his chair. That's how God wants us to wait on him. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Lord, I've got many things to do on earth. I've got my family to look after. I've got to work and earn my living. But in the midst of all that, in my inner heart, I'm always waiting before you. What do you want me to do? I'm always available for you, Lord, to hear you. You know, like these policemen who walk around with a walkie-talkie. It's always on. They're not always talking on it. They're going about controlling the traffic or doing whatever they're supposed to do. But this is on, and they are always listening. Sometimes a clip to their belt, they're doing their work, but they're listening. Sometimes they may call come for them in the middle, maybe 2-3 times a day, that's all. But it's always on. And if a call comes for them, they respond immediately. If they say, go over here, they've got to drop everything and go. That's how we must be. That's how the angels are. Always ready. And when they do God's will, when God tells them to do something, they do it immediately. They drop whatever they're doing and do it. You're praying that God's will be done in your life like that. Lord, I want to do your will as soon as I hear it. Immediately. They do it joyfully. They don't do it with a long face or grumblingly or complainingly. They do it joyfully. And third, they do it completely. They don't do a half job and come back. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it is a principle by which he lived all through life. If his mother told him to go and bring a bucket of water from the village well, when he was a little 12-year-old boy, he wouldn't bring a half bucket. He'd bring a full bucket. These are little things. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Lord, I want to do your will, waiting on you. And when I hear your voice, to do it immediately, joyfully, and completely. That's how I want to do your will. And I want this to be done all over. I want it to be done in my family. I want it to be done like that in my local church. And I want it to be done like that in my city and my country and all over the world. I will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So you notice here, it's God's name, God's kingdom, God's will. The focus of my life shifts from being centered in myself to be centered in God. You know, when Adam chose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he was actually choosing a life centered in himself. From now on, I want to be centered in myself. I don't want to be centered in God. The tree of life was a choice to be centered in God. He didn't want that. Now, Jesus has come to bring us back to the tree of life, to have a life centered in God, because that is having our head up. When you're centered in yourself, you're walking on your head with your feet up. It's all upside down. When it says in Acts 17:11 that Paul and the other apostles, people said they are turning the world upside down, what they should have said is they are turning the world right side up. It looks upside down because everybody else is walking upside down. But it is actually right side up. They were telling people to be centered in God, to put God first in their life. That's what Christ came to do. Once we do that, then we come to our requests. Is it right for us to pray for our requests? Absolutely right. Is it right to pray for material things? Absolutely right, because we need those things on earth. In that little prayer, give us this day our daily bread. First of all, I want you to notice God doesn't want you to think only about your own needs. If you're hungry, and the people around you, your fellow believers are hungry, don't just say, Lord, give me food. What about them? If you have a need in your family, your fellow believers have a need in the family, pray for them as much as for yourself. Do you want your children to be married? Do you have people around you who need their children to be married? Pray for them too, not just for your children. God will mightily care for you when you start caring for other people. I've seen that through 40 years. I've proved it. I've experienced it. You take care of God's family and God will take special care over your family. So don't say give me, but pray give us. Change our way of thinking. It's not just repeating it as a formula. No. It is actually putting others' needs also in our mind. I'm not saying don't pray for yourself. He's not saying give them their daily bread. No, we're not ascetics or super spiritual. Jesus said, give us. I need bread too. I need my children to get married too, but I'm thinking of others as well. The needs of others. I need housing. They need housing. I need a job. They need a job. But in that little request, give us our daily bread, is included many things. It is that daily bread is a symbol of all that we need for life on earth. Food, clothing, shelter, our children's education. Because only if they get educated can they grow up and get a job so that they can get their daily food, clothing, and shelter. So I see that in that request for something earthly is a request for food, clothing, shelter, my children's education, everything related to earthly needs. Maybe for medical treatment, for physical health, prayer for physical health is all included in that little statement, give us this our daily bread. It's basically praying, Lord, help me to be able to live a healthy life, to earn my living, to take care of myself. I'm not expecting manna to drop from heaven. No, I'm expecting to work and earn my living. So I'm praying that I'll have a job. I'm praying that I'll have a house to take care of my family. It's all included in that prayer, and it's absolutely right to ask for it. God may give you more than you ask for. He may give you ice cream and not just bread, but you don't ask for it. Well, there's nothing wrong in asking for it once in a while, but that's not the main burden of our prayer. My point is, we're not asking God for luxuries. If God decides to give us some luxuries, that's fine. But don't get into debt to buy them. Never. If God increases your financial circle so that you have enough to buy something, some time-saving gadget in your home or some little luxury to make transport easier, go ahead and get it. There's nothing wrong in that. But don't make that the goal and focus of your prayer, where that is the only thing you want in life. Leave that to God. You seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and He will add to you whatever He knows is good for you and take away the things that are not good. So, let's not hesitate to ask for material things, provided it is number four. And also, remember, this follows after the prayer, Thy will be done. In other words, Lord, I'm praying that You will give me health to do Your will on earth as it is done in heaven. That's the point. Why do I want all these things? Why do I want food, clothing, shelter, opportunity to educate my children so that I can do God's will on earth? Because that is the previous request. Thy will be done on earth in my life as it is done in heaven. And in order to do Thy will, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give me my food, clothing, and shelter and opportunity to educate my children so that they will do Your will on earth in their generation. Then we go to the next request. It's interesting that even forgiveness of sins is mentioned after, give us this day our daily bread, teaching us that it's perfectly right to ask for material things. How can we live on earth otherwise? Then forgive us our sins just as we forgive others. There's a condition. How do you want God to forgive you? Exactly like you have forgiven somebody else who harmed you. When somebody who has harmed you comes to you, do you say, well, I'll forgive you, but I can't ever forget what you did to me? And you pray, God, forgive me exactly like that. That means when you come to God, He says, well, I've forgiven you, but I'll never forget the way you rebelled against me all these years. Do you want God to forgive you like that? Or do you want God to forgive you saying, listen, I don't even want to remember anything that you did in the past. Well, I'll tell you, I want God to forgive me like that. But God says, you better forgive others like that too. In fact, out of all the 6 requests in this prayer, at the end of the prayer, Jesus picked out this one in verse 14 and 15 of Matthew 6 and said, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's it. This one request out of the 6 he picked out and emphasized. But if you forgive people, only then will your heavenly Father forgive you. So forgiveness is conditional. Yes, it's not unconditional. It's so clear. Jesus made it so clear. It doesn't matter how many years you've lived in faithfulness to God. I'll tell you this. At the end of your life, if you do not forgive others, if there's one human being you have not forgiven, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar. A lot of people think, well, I've served God for 40 years. It doesn't matter if I keep a little grudge against somebody before I die. Well, brother, you better be careful. You'll get a surprise when you go beyond the grave as to where you end up. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will not pass away. Jesus will not, God will not forgive. The heavenly Father will not forgive someone who has not forgiven others. So if you haven't done it and you don't know when you'll die, you better forgive them right away. That doesn't mean you have to go and visit them and do all types of things for them. Just forgive them. It's an act of your will in your heart, right where you're sitting right now. You say, Lord, this person, that person, the other person who has harmed me right now, I forgive them. I wish them the best. I don't wish them any evil from now on. I pray you will bless them. I want to love them. I may never see them in my life, but my attitude towards them has changed. Right now, I have forgiven them. He doesn't tell you to go visit them. He doesn't tell you to go and meet them or anything. If you meet them, smile at them. But in your heart, forgive them. That's all he's saying. And we must ask the Lord to forgive us in the same way. And we can believe that the Lord will forgive us in the same way. And then the last request is, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We recognize that there are some temptations that are too strong for us. And so we pray to our Father, please, Father, don't let me ever face a temptation that's too strong for me. He has promised in 1 Corinthians 10:13, He'll never allow us to be tempted beyond our ability. But He wants us to pray it also, to remind ourselves that we ourselves should not expose ourselves to temptation that's too strong for us. If the devil asks you to jump from the top of the temple like he told Jesus, say, no, I won't do it. That's tempting God. Lead me not into temptation. Don't walk into a pornographic bookshop and ask God to protect you from temptation. Don't go to a pornographic site on the internet and ask God to protect you from temptation. He won't. If you go there yourself, how can you pray, lead us not into temptation? We have to be very careful here. Many Christians fall into sin because they go into situations that are provocative. Don't walk in lonely places at night with a woman who is not your wife. You can be tempted. Young people, be careful. Don't allow yourself to be in situations where you're tempted. You can lose your whole testimony for Christ in a moment and destroy your usefulness for your whole life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray that God Himself will set us free from Satan and from all evil. We believe that He can keep us from falling. And that's what we are praying. All evil, Lord, not 90%. 100%, I don't want any evil in my life. Deliver me from all evil. Not only physical evil, but something worse than that, spiritual evil. Deliver me from sin. Here is a prayer for victory over sin. Lord, keep me from falling. Don't let me fall in thought, word, deed, attitude, motive, in no area. And Lord, I believe that You will answer all this, because all power is Yours. The kingdom is Yours. The power is Yours, and when you answer these prayers, Lord, the glory will be Yours. I will never take the credit for myself. Verse 13. And you finally conclude with Amen. Do you know what the word Amen means? Amen means, I believe. It will be exactly as I have prayed. It's a very good way to conclude prayer. In Jesus' name, I claim this. I know it will be true in my life. May God help you to change the way you pray from today, centered in God, considerate for others, and believing that when you pray, your Father in heaven will answer you beyond what you ask or think. God bless you.